Well, I'm going to talk about the kingdom of God today, so I was going to have them come up forward and pretend they're bowing to a king, so I guess that's about the same fun factor for the kids. So, I just want to also note that Kaylee put something in everyone's mailboxes today. Her birthday is September the 2nd. And she's asking, last year, if you remember, she asked for school supplies for her birthday. And remember the huge table of school supplies that we collected? This year she's asking for the same items that we are collecting for the MCC list. So she said, no party this year due to COVID. So, and I wanted to do something I like I did last year. So she's going to do the relief kits. And you can bring the gifts in the fellowship hall and put it on the table with the sign. So I just want to highlight Kaylee this morning as a young woman who loves to come to church, drags her whole family to church from what I hear, waking them up 6:30 in the morning to make sure that they get here in time. And a young woman who helps faithfully with the children, who helps with a lot of things in the congregation. She helps with May and takes care of May as she takes care of her family. So I just encourage you to pray for her, right? Young women who are growing up in this world, and she doesn't have friends here at church her age, but she certainly has a lot of mentors. And we want to pray for her health situation. She, there's a lot of things going on. And Becky talks in a language that I don't always understand. She uses a lot of acronyms and things that I don't always understand. But she knows. And, this young woman is facing some health challenges pretty young in life. So let's pray for her, right? Let's pray for her healing. We know that God can bring healing to her body, right? So what the tests indicate can be nullified, right? God can make that not true. God can change the things that are happening in her body. So let's just ask you to pray for her, thank God for her. One thing I am really hoping is that Beth is a person who has a lot of experience with children and youth. That's an area that I have not really focused on very much while I was here. We did some in the beginning. But I'm hoping that there can be an emphasis on children and youth that's new and fresh, and that might bring in more families with children and youth. So let's pray in that direction as well. I also felt a little nudge just to invite anyone, before I start with the sermon time, anyone who would just like to share a little bit about the announcement this morning, any feelings you just want to get out there, right? Any things you want to say. But we're not rushing. We're kind of in that in-between time. I feel it too. I feel kind of like a lame duck pastor, right? Like I'm not really initiating a lot of new things. I'm just trying to, talk to people before I go. There's definitely a list of people I really want to talk to before I go. But we also, we in any time of transition, we have to rejoice and mourn, right? There's always the good things and the things that don't feel quite as good. So if you want to just share something this morning, I just felt a little nudge just to say, like, let's just leave it open. If someone has something they'd like to say before I get started in the sermon, just about this transition, if you have a word of encouragement or a word of mourning or whatever it is that you might want to speak, I will be quiet now so that you can say it.
Change period. So, it'll take a while for her to adjust.
Yeah. Well, let's pray before we go into the message. Lord, you are our God. We are your people. We are like sheep, Lord, in the pasture, waiting for you, the good shepherd, to lead us. Lord, we know that we have time and time again asked for your guidance and your leadership, Lord, your direction for Wellspring. And Lord, you have been so faithful. You have met our needs time and time again. You have done mighty works. The word of God has been spoken, Lord, and you have encouraged our hearts time and time again. You have provided for all that we need, Lord. So I just pray that we would continue to trust in you. We continue, Lord, to walk by your side. Continue, Lord, to feel the sadness, Lord. We know that you encourage us to mourn with those who mourn, but you also encourage us to rejoice with those who rejoice, Lord. And it's true, Lord, we have mixed feelings, that we not sure how things are gonna go, Lord. But again, Lord, we just wanna trust you, step out of the boat, Lord, so that we can walk on water, Lord. And so I just pray, Lord, your blessing on this congregation, your blessing on each family, your blessing, Lord, on each person. And I just pray, Lord, that your word would continue to be revealed here, that your power, the power of your spirit, Lord, will continue, Lord, to move in the people of this congregation, Lord, that you would continue, Lord, to receive honor and glory, Lord, through their faithfulness to you, their service to you. And we pray, Lord God, that we continue to be a witness to this community, Lord. And we thank you for each member. And we pray, Lord, for each member's needs right now, Lord. We just pray that you will guide each person, that you will give them new fellowship with you, deeper fellowship with you, Lord. That doesn't just, we know, Lord, it doesn't just rest on one person, but it's all of us as a body, Lord, and that we need each other. So we thank you, Lord, today. And we believe and we trust in you. We confess that you are the Lord of our lives and you are the Lord of Wellspring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the song that the new song that we sang this morning is by a group called We the Kingdom, right? We the Kingdom. Is that right? Yeah, and so they say on their notes that we the kingdom comes from the idea that the kingdom of God is not merely referring to heaven or the power of God or his angels, but the kingdom of God is here among us. And after all, what is a kingdom without its people? God has called us to big things, great things, mighty things. Things that we can't even begin to imagine. So let's start living like this. That's what they have on their notes underneath this song. And so we understand, right, that the kingdom, Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God. And I just want to focus on two verses this today. One is Matthew 6:10 comes from the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this year at the conference assembly, the virtual assembly, that's their theme, right? On earth as it is in heaven. So God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that feels like a stretch, right? Because in heaven, God has his angels and the heavenly beings to do his bidding perfectly, right? And so how is God's will done here on earth? How do we do God's will like the heavenly beings do God's will in heaven? But that's the prayer. That's the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, to pray that, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:33, later in that same chapter, Jesus says, "Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So we don't just pray for God's kingdom and God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, but we also have to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And kingdom is one of those words that you say it, but you need to kind of think about it a little bit deeper to understand what you're saying. You say, "Your kingdom come, God, your kingdom come." It's easy to say, but what about the actual, like, what does that mean, right? And I've been thinking that over the last few months, I've been kind of gotten stuck on this idea that your kingdom, God's kingdom, is the place where God is king, right? So God is king. When God is king in our lives, when God is king in our decisions, when God is king in our workplaces and their decisions, then God decides, right? God's authority. He's the king. We serve God. We are God's servants. We are God's children. But he is the king, and we're doing his will. If you think about it, it's like we don't understand kings and queens so much here in this country because we have presidents, and presidents are not kings, right? But the idea of the king is, I mean, pretty much the king and queen decides, right? And that goes. There's no challenges to their decision. There's no, you know, three different areas of government. There's no checks and balances. There's no executive order. I mean, it's just all executive orders, right? It's all just how the king works. So this morning, I just wanted to go back a little bit to the Old Testament and then hit the New Testament a little bit and then talk a little bit about kingdom now here on earth and then kingdom in heaven. It sounds like it's going to be long, but it probably won't be as long as you're thinking it might be. So Psalm 45:6 says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom." So in the Old Testament, right, they understood God, right, to be king, kingdom. God's kingdom was the whole earth. Lord Almighty, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim. You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You made heaven and earth. So the whole kingdom, right, the whole world is God's kingdom because he is king. He's the creator. He made everything. But then at some point, God pulled aside the Israelites as kind of special people, right? But they didn't have a king. They had different kinds of leaders, and then they had judges. But then at one point, it says Samuel, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. So Samuel was a judge. He wasn't a king. He just heard from God, and then he shared what he heard to the people. But Samuel's sons were not that great of leaders, and they were dishonest, and they accepted bribes, and they were not they were involved in a lot of injustice. So the elders of Israel come together to Samuel, right? And they say, "You're old, and your sons do not follow our ways. So we want you to appoint a king for us, to lead us, like the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," Samuel didn't like that. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected. They have rejected me as their king." That's pretty strong, right? So God is king, and he has judges, and now the people are saying, "We want a king to lead us." And God is saying that turning over that kingship to someone else, a human being, is a rejection of the kingship of God. And it says, as they are saying, as... Oh man, this I printed this too close together. I can't. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, they have forsaken me and they're serving other gods. And so now they're doing the same. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know that the king who will reign over them will claim his rights. Okay, so what rights do kings claim? They claim sons and daughters to make them serve, and chariots and horses. They will take sons and daughters to be commanders of thousands, to like in the army. They will take others. He will take other sons and daughters to plow his ground and reap his harvest. He will take others to make weapons of war. He will take daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and olive groves, and he will give them to his attendants. He will take your grain. He's going to tax you. He's going to take your male and female servants. He's going to take a tenth of your flocks. And this is the warning that God told Samuel to give to the people. This is what a king does, right? He takes stuff from the kingdom for himself. And so that's the warning that God told Samuel to give to the people. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go before us and fight our battles. And when Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord, and the Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. So we know the first king was Saul, right? And he wasn't the greatest king. He did all those things that God said he would do. Plus, he went a little crazy, right? And then next, Samuel anointed David as king, right? They chose Saul because he was big and he looked nice and he was strong and he was from a good family. And then God chose David, who was a shepherd boy, who was humble, and he became king. And we know that he was called a man after God's own heart, but we know that he was not either a perfect king, right? And if you go through the Bible and you read about these kings, it's so weird because you're reading, and one chapter says, and so-and-so was king, and he was a good king. And the next chapter says, and so-and-so was king, and he was an evil king. And so-and-so was a king, and he was a good king. And it keeps going back and forth and back and forth through all the generations of kings. Until the king gets Israel into the place where they're taken off into captivity to another king. Okay, so they released the kingship of God. They set aside the kingship of God, and they went to human kings, right? Human kings who were fallible and who made mistakes and who, had a lot of their own. They wanted to benefit themselves, right? Because that's what people do when they go into get into power. So we get to the place where, you know, Israel's in captivity, they come out of captivity, and then there's this quiet time where we don't know much about what happens in Israel. But we start getting these prophecies in Isaiah about a child who's going to be born, a son who's going to be given, and the government is going to be on his shoulders. He's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So God is taking it back, right? He's like, yep, so these kings and these prophets and we've gotten ourselves in a big mess, so God's going to place now a new kingdom in place. And God brings this kingdom through Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He brings the kingdom of God to earth, right? It's not as far in the Old Testament. God was king, but people felt like they didn't really know, or they didn't, God's kingship was so, let's say, so heavenly. I'm trying to think of my one if I want to say that. It's not in my notes, so you know, when I go off notes, then that means that I haven't thought it out quite. But the idea, right, that God didn't really know their king, right? We can know Jesus as king, but in the Old Testament, people couldn't really know God as king. They worshipped God, and they knew God was king. They knew God was king over all creation, but they were far enough removed that they wanted this person. That's why they asked Samuel for a person, for a king that they could see, they could bow down to, which didn't work out very well. So, Jesus, this is the New Testament part, okay? So we're in phase two now. Jesus is king. He brings the kingdom to us, right? God, Emmanuel, is with us. In Mark 1, Jesus announces the good news. After John was put into prison, it says, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So that's why I said, like, in the Old Testament, the kingdom of God is kind of, it's there, but it's not, people don't, they can't enter into it in the same way as we can now enter into the kingdom of God and what Jesus brought. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of God has now come near. It's not far away, it's come near. And he explains, there's a whole bunch of stories. There's a whole bunch of verses in the New Testament, in the Gospels, about the kingdom of God. So Jesus is trying to explain, time and time again, what is this kingdom? What does this mean? How does this change things? So Mark 4, he says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters the seeds on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first in the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So what is the kingdom of God like? It sounds like it's something that the seed is scattered, and then we don't do much, right? It kind of grows in us, right? That it's not necessarily, it doesn't say like that the man toils the ground and he it says whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. He does not know how. So there's an element of the kingdom of God that's pretty much out of our control, right? We accept God's kingship. We accept God, Jesus, as king and Lord of our lives. And then there's an element of the kingdom of God that grows within us. Verse 30 of the same chapter, Jesus says, and let me just say that there's probably levels and levels and all kinds of things we don't understand about these parables because we don't know about the time. That we don't understand like the time that Jesus was speaking from, the culture Jesus was speaking from, but the people in his time didn't understand it either. It says time and time again that he talked in parables, and a lot of people didn't understand them, so he had to go and describe them to his disciples later, explain it to them. So if you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor Mara did not explain that very well, what the kingdom of God is like, then that's because Jesus is speaking in parables, and there's a lot that I don't know and a lot that we don't quite understand about how he's talking about this. So verse 30, again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. So the kingdom of God starts small, right? It starts as an idea. It starts as, again, like as an acceptance of God's kingship. And then from there, it grows and grows and grows within us and starts taking over different parts of our lives. We cannot... it's meant to grow within us, right? It's not meant to just stay in this little corner. The kingship of God is not meant to stay in this little corner of our lives, this little controlled box. It's meant to grow and grow and grow and touch every part of our lives. Mark 10. I'm just going to read a bunch of these scriptures about kingdom and take notes about where, things that are kind of where the Spirit of God nudges you and what you need to think about a little bit more. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." You've probably heard a sermon on this time and time again, right? There's something about the kingdom of God that requires trust, right? It requires believing. It's not so much something that you can like rationally think out, but it's like a child who trusts the person who's caring for them. You trust it and you believe it, and you can't, it's not something that you figure out. The king, God as king, Jesus as king, thinks in such different ways than we do that it requires this faith and this level of trust in order for the kingdom to work within us. The next verses are ones that make me shudder just a little bit. These are the verses that talk about the rich and the kingdom of God. And now most of you, when I say rich, you're probably thinking to yourself, that's not me, I'm not rich. But trust me, compared to the rest of the world, we are probably, the top 5%, at least 10%, right? All of us in this room. So think about it that way. And this rich young ruler comes, right, and he asks God what he has to do to inherit eternal life. And you know the conversation, right? Jesus talks about obeying the commandments, and then the conversation goes back to, it goes back to the rich young ruler, and he says, "All these things I've kept since I was a boy." And says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." And that this the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus said to them, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." So I think it's not just the rich, it's not just money, right? It's not just about having money. That's not what keeps us from the kingdom of God. It's about our hold on the money. It's about our trust in the money, right? It's about us believing that the money can save us. It's about us making money king in our lives. So Jesus is saying here that we have to be able to hold our riches loosely, right? We need to be able to use them for God's kingdom. Everything that we have belongs to our King. Everything that we have belongs to our King. And so we have to be able to, in order to allow God's kingdom, allow God's rule to be effective in us, we have to be able to hold on to our riches loosely. Luke 6:20 says, Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And again, I don't think it's just about poverty, right? It's not just that everybody in this world who is poor is an automatic, gets an automatic in, right, to the kingdom of God. It's more about this trust. This trust in God. When you're poor or when you're in a situation, and some of us have been there, right? You've been in a situation where you don't have enough money, or you've lost your job, or something else is happening where you can't trust in the things that you have, then you trust in God, right? So there's this element is when you're poor, when you're trusting God for daily bread, when you're trusting God for every day, when you're trusting God to pay the bills, then you're much more in tune with the kingdom of God. You're much more in tune with God's rule, right, in your life and God's provision in your life. And I think that's what this means, right? So blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who trust God. Blessed are you who are aware of your need for God, for yours is the kingdom of God. There's a few more, but I think I'll just move to the to the next part. So Jesus preached, right, this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't preach it, right? The kingdom of God is not just something that we're looking forward to sometime in the future when we get up to heaven. The kingdom of God is here today on earth. And he taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we're praying for God's will to be done, the kingdom of God, here on earth as it is in heaven. And so like the song we sang this morning, right? The kingdom of God means that when we are weary, when we're thirsty, that we can come to God and God gives us nourishment and health and drink. And when we need to be forgiven, right? Just like the song says, we come to God and we get his mercy. We come to the King. We come to the table of the King, and the King will give us those things that will satisfy us, right? Not just food, but food and joy and peace and all those things that make life love and those things that make life worth living. The kingdom, having the kingdom of God in our lives means that we understand that God loves us, right? That the kingdom is not just for here, but it is also an eternal thing. The kingdom of God also is a place where you can bring your failures. You can bring your failures to the King. In some kingdoms, you bring your failures and you meet with death, right? In God's kingdom, you bring your failures, you bring your addictions, like the song says, and you lay them down at the foot of the cross. And Jesus, the King, right, is waiting there. And he heals you and forgives you and helps you. In the kingdom of God, the power of hell does not have power over us, right? In the kingdom of God, we can walk in freedom. The kingdom of God is something that we choose. The kingship of God, the kingdom of God, something we choose every day, right? This king is different than other kings in that we're not slaves, right? We're not slaves. We're not bound servants, but we're also sons and daughters, right? And I think about this some mornings when I wake up. I don't do it regularly, but I think about how a servant, right, might come before the king and say, kneel before the king and say, what do you have for me to do today? For a regular king, servant has to do that, right? They have to come or they forfeit their life. But for us, we choose to come. We come before God and we seek God's kingdom, and we come and we ask God, what is it, Lord, that you have for me today? What is it that you have for me to do today, right? What is your will for my day? What is your will for my moment? What is your will for this decision? And I think that we understand that when we decide to live under God's kingship, that it does cost us something. Matthew 13 says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. And again, it says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And I think we recognize that a king does not accept allegiance to other kings, right? We understand that God, as our king, is requesting our full allegiance to God. And that God's kingdom, again, is much bigger than our nation, but it includes the whole world. I think the most important thing that I'm hoping that you will take with you today, the takeaway, right, is that there is a king, that we have chosen to serve a king, and that when we do that, we surrender our will, right, so that the king's will can be done, that we are instrumental in answering that prayer, the Lord's prayer, that God's kingdom will come and that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we are that answer to our own prayer, because as we choose to do God's will, as we choose to do the king's will in our lives, that his will's done here on earth where we all live. And that God's will for us, that God's kingship over us is for our benefit. It's for our healing. It's for our freedom. And that it's worth setting aside other gods, other rulers, other authorities in our lives to serve the King of God, to serve King God, I guess I should say. And I think then we think about, in some places, Jesus referred to the kingdom of God as the kingdom of heaven, right? So I think we also recognize that even as the kingdom of God operates here on earth, and as we do God's will, that we also then remember that there will be a kingdom, right? A kingdom of heaven, in which that's we see in Revelation, where it talks about the throne of God. In Revelation 7, it talks about a throne that God sits on, and it says they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. So, in heaven, there's no hunger, there's no heat, right? There's no pain, there's no tears. And we are in that space where the kingdom of God has come to earth. It's drawn near to us. But we also have not yet experienced the fullness. We have not yet seen the fullness of our King. We talked about this a few weeks ago, about the glory and the goodness of God, and how Moses had to hide be hidden, right, in the cleft of the rock, because God's glory was too great. And I think the same thing about the kingdom. We don't fully understand the king that we serve, and we don't always do the best job that we can to serve him. Sometimes we're trying to serve multiple little kings and authorities in our lives. But this encouragement today, right, is to understand that God is king, and that God requires, just like a king requires, full allegiance, right, to the kingdom. On some of your benches there, I put the little orange sheet. It says a Christian pledge of allegiance, right? And basically it says, and if you want to read it with me, you can. If I didn't get you one, I'm sorry. There's some more in the back there. I invite you to read it to me if you care to, if you'd like to, if you choose to. I pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ and to God's kingdom for which he died, one spirit-led people the world over, indivisible, with love and justice for all. So to remember, especially during this time of, things really get ramped up in our country, right? And it feels like we have to choose allegiance to one group or another. Remember that our allegiance, our primary allegiance, is to Jesus Christ and to the kingdom of God. Does anybody have any responses? It was a lot.
Mm-hmm. I also thought, and I always said, we're not meant to understand everything. And that's so true. And at the same time, I think that gives you peace of mind.
Yeah, it's interesting that when Jesus spoke, he spoke in parables, that a lot of the people, the Bible says a lot of people didn't understand it. That seems odd, right? But we're meant to trust. We're meant to trust.
You guys know about my cousins. My cousin John, passed away back in February.
Yeah.
Every family member that I've ever lost, I usually turn off in a dream. And I believe that spirits, people moving on, can't communicate with them. So I had a couple dreams with Kevin after he was gone. And the last dream I had with him was, I asked him, I said, what's it like on the other side? And his answer was, you couldn't understand it. That answer made sense to me. It actually gave me peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because, all right, well, I know he's telling me the truth. Yeah, we can't comprehend it because of this form, physical form that we're contained in. It's just our brains probably is what gets in the way of our understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, from the parables, we don't understand how it grows in us sometimes. We don't understand what the kingdom of God is. We don't understand what it will be like, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I think it's like kingdom, like first thing comes to my mind, castles, people contained within like a perimeter. A lot of poor, few rich, horses, strong. That may not be what it even is.
I don't think of it necessarily as like up there anymore. I think of it as like right here. It's all here. It's just different realm.
It's like walking through a door.
Yeah, but it's not from far away. It's close.
Right.
It's right here.
Yeah. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is drawn near. That's what Jesus says, right? It's near. And in the Revelation 2, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth, right? A new heaven and a new earth. Sometimes we think about this just a heavenly place, right? But I remember my dad talking about sometimes at one point, he said, well, maybe God's just going to like redo heaven, like redo earth, right? But in the way that he intended from the first place, like the whole Garden of Eden kind of idea. So I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what it's like. Maybe it is like earth, just a different place, different, yeah. So I want to just go back and just say that, so we talked about the Old Testament, right? The idea of kingdom in the Old Testament. We talked about Jesus, right? And the kingdom of God is near. And we also think about the kingdom within us, right? The kingship of God in our lives, in our realm, in our everyday lives. And then we also think about the kingdom of heaven, right? The kingdom of God that is our promise, right? That is our eternal life. So there's a lot of things to think about. I think that we right now our work is to concentrate on that peace, right? That the kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's our main work right now. Like Janine said, right? We can be the answer to our own prayer, right? By obeying God, by being faithful, by allowing God to be King and Lord in our lives. So, all right, Eloise, you have a good kingdom song for us.